very special edition of Canuck Central at Noon. We finally brought some real class into the studio. Daniel Sedin joining us. Sorry, Aldi.
We brought the classy brother?
You made that joke, not me.
It's a joke against Henrik.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not in their good graces enough to make fun of either one, so I'll leave that to you, Aldi. But Daniel, thanks for joining us in studio.
No problem.
So, the marathon. First marathon complete. You're a couple days out from it. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. Legs are not feeling very good, but it was a great experience. Certainly going to do it again. And it was awesome.
Well, I was going to ask you that. So you want to do it again next year? As soon as next year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? I might get another one in between too. But I want to try this one again because it was perfect too. The weather was good, no wind, it was a great experience.
What did you learn about training for that? Like that you maybe didn't expect? I mean, you've trained for the same thing for years and years and years, and all of a sudden this is something completely different. What did you learn that maybe surprised you, or what were some of the differences?
I think running slow, slow and long. we're so used to always pushing hard. Every training session needs to be hard. But now you got to go for long runs. They have to be slow. You got to get the time in. And I think that was our biggest mistake training for this. I think we always pushed a little bit too hard, so we didn't get those long runs in. And that's why by 35K, our legs gave up on us. had to walk for a bit.
But you learned from this. And would you want to run more marathons? If you run it next time, you probably feel a lot better prepared for how to prepare for it.
Yeah. And people said too, it's your first marathon. You're going to learn a lot from that.
Right.
And I think we did too. I think our goal obviously before was to do a sub-3 hour, and we failed that one. So.
But close enough.
Well, I don't know. 11, that's a lot of minutes.
Well, when you go 3 hours, I don't know if 11 minutes is a lot, but at that level, yeah, I can see it being
a lot
of time.
And I think it'll be fun to try it again and maybe have a different training plan and even the race too, maybe. I think we maybe start out a little bit too fast, but overall, like I said, it was a great experience.
Would you consider trying to qualify for something like, say, the Boston Marathon? And I know that's coming up in September, so you would have to run again to get the qualifying time. But like Patrick Johnston, good friend of the show, mentioned on social media, next year, because of the age, it'll be 3 hours and 5 minutes. Is that something you'll be trying to do, potentially?
Perfect. We'll wait till next year. No, I think sub-3 hours is our main goal. Mm-hmm. I think that's... kind of the magic number for us, and if we qualify, we might think about it. But I think it's the whole thing. So it's not only the marathon, but it's training for it, having a plan, being injury free, and take care of your body. It reminds you a lot about training for an NHL season in a way. So that's what we like to do.
Well, I feel a little bit bad bringing this up, but Henrik declined the request to come, so it's kind of on him. But because a lot of people were asking about the fact that. Because you guys did a trail race last year and you finished like a couple seconds apart. And this time you finished a little bit ahead of Henrik. And at what point did you just say, see ya, buddy? Like, I'm going for it.
I all of a sudden he was gone. He was way behind me. But we talked after the race, and for a long time he wasn't too far behind. But okay. I thought he was done for sure. So I think he did the bigger effort, I think, in finishing the race, because he hit the wall earlier than I did. So kudos to him. He did good.
Well, I sent it to you. So our very own Scott Rintoul was there at the finish line. He actually took a video of Daniel crossing. Scott didn't race this year because he actually ran two marathons last year, because I think he carried John Jang.
He carried
him for
sure.
Yeah, so that counts as two. Plus, it took them like 6 hours, I think. So that's like four marathons then.
Yeah, that's our perspective. When you say 11 minutes is a lot, we're like, well, you know, we had somebody run a marathon in 6 hours. So 11 minutes doesn't seem like a lot.
But I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm like, you sent it to me, and or when you responded when I sent that to you, and like, it's the worst thing you've ever done. Like, what? I mean, was it how grueling is it, that last little bit? Do you just want to stop, or like, you know, people are there watching, know you're doing it? I mean, giving up on it would be almost impossible, right?
Yeah, especially when you have that 3 hour you want to hit 3 hours, realizing that you're not going to be able to make it. That's the toughest thing, I think. And that kind of, when you have that set goal you want to aim for, once you realize you're not going to be able to do it, that's when you kind of, I don't want to say give up, but you kind of lose the, the little extra that you need to push yourself.
So it was, and I don't know if everyone knows, it was a family affair just beyond just you and Henrik. Like your other brother, Peter, ran it as well. Your wife, Marinette, ran the half. Like that's so, when did Peter come over and how much was he training, I guess, on his own? And when did he decide he was going to take part in this?
Yeah, we're four brothers and all of us are pretty competitive. We like to work out. Our oldest, he likes to do a lot of mountain biking, doesn't run that much. Peter is kind of both biking and running, and we're same with me and Henrik. So we talked about it in, I think it was December, when we went home for Christmas there. And I said, sure. And his wife ran the 8K as well.
Okay.
My wife ran the half. So it was awesome. And Peter actually broke his ribs.
What?
6 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh, wow. So he played through it.
Yeah, he fought through it.
Just a Viking warrior. Yeah. Broken ribs.
And then he flew home to Sweden the Sunday night. So he had a rough
So he's days. Cramping up right now.
try to get up and start walking after running a marathon and being on a flight for like 10 hours.
Yeah. No, he had a rough few.
That's
few
not
days.
Optimal recovery.
No, probably not. So what is more grueling from after the fact? A 7-game playoff series or running a marathon? Just from how your body feels afterwards.
Yeah. It's different because the Stanley Cup is over such a long period of time. It's just, and then when that ends, it just you're empty. Marathon, it's for 3 hours. And you're actually feeling pretty good for 25 of those 42K.
Right.
So it's just the last 10-15K that's really, really pushes you. So it's a different kind of feeling. But like I texted Alex and I said that this is the worst thing I've ever done. And 3 hours later, I'm looking at the next marathon to run.
So you forget quick. It's the pain, but it's also what you mentioned before. You guys like to train, and I'm sure leaving the game and then trying to stay physically active and driven at the same time, how much did that help this past year to run the trail run, doing the training for the marathon, running the marathon? How did that make the transition go?
I think easier for sure. We had this date on our mind for quite some time. We had to do the training. We had a goal we wanted to hit. Obviously we failed, but hopefully we can get there one day. So I think it helped a lot. Just knowing that you had to get up every day and do the training. I know. I mean, for us, I have so much respect for people that have to work every day and then get the runs in and be so good. I think that's. For us, I mean, we went for runs and then we could go home and have lunch and do whatever. So we had a lot of time on our hands to train and we still failed.
Next one, you get the next one. Hey, you know, it's like the same time, the first time you guys made the playoffs, it took a few years before you had some success, right? So, you know, fail the first time, do better the next time.
Yeah, that's what people told us too. It's the first one should just be about learning to run that distance and how to train for it and everything. So we'll do better.
What's next? Like not next marathon. I mean, I know you're looking big picture, but I guess now that the training for the marathon's out of the way and that's not something that's in your immediate future, what are you, the next couple of months like for you?
Obviously kids finishing school here and then go back to Sweden. I think we'll enjoy the summer in Sweden. But we'll come back in August and see what happens. It's been a year now and we're probably going to have to find something meaningful to do here in the next little bit, but
beyond running,
which is which I love. But even now, I still feel very good. Like our life outside of hockey has been great. Being able to be there for our kids, we gotta find something that's where we still have that time with our family but maybe have something else we can do. So we'll see what that is. If it happens now or in. Takes another year, we'll see, but I think we're in no rush.
Building a security firm to be crossing guards, is that something that I could potentially
if that's the job, I don't know.
Keeping streets safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep the kids safe. Yep. Are you still doing that? Because I've heard it come up that Daniel Sedin is a crossing guard.
Yeah, you sign up for a year, so you gotta
you're committed.
Yeah, I'm committed for another 5 weeks, and then we'll see.
Well, obviously the question a lot of Canucks fans want to know is, would you want to get involved in the game of hockey again? And maybe not professionally from the NHL standpoint, but do you miss it from that regard, being involved in some capacity, whether it's coaching kids or being involved, mentoring, fitness and testing? Or is there something with the game of hockey that you and Henrik maybe would consider doing at some point?
I think we said that after we were done too. I think we know a lot about hockey. We've been around for a lot of years. So for sure, but that, like I said, it has to be the right fit. And we're right now, we're not like we're going to go out there and look for jobs. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But that's obviously one thing that you can always fall back on if the right opportunity comes. But there are other things too that we might be interested in doing.
What else are you passionate about?
Well, I think kids for sure. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. And there's so many things where you can do that to help out. It doesn't have to be a job. It can be just doing something with kids that makes their lives better. And I think there are a lot of things you can do there.
You know, it's funny. I got a tweet yesterday saying, oh, I wish the Canucks would hire the Twins to be scouts. And I just thought, I could just picture you guys going out and like just, I don't know, riding buses through the Western League or something. And just, I don't know, is getting involved in the game makes a lot of sense for former players, but is going to that level and watching like junior hockey something that would interest you, or does it need to be more on a higher level? And I'm not saying like handpick your spot with the Canucks or wherever, but I guess where would you see the fit back in the sport?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know the scouts, how much they travel, mm-hmm. how much work they put in. I don't know if it gets overlooked, but so much respect to those guys, the amount of work they put in. That's the travel part. That's one thing we're not really looking forward to do again, I think.
Yeah, I get that. I'm the same way. I like being home.
Exactly, for sure. So that's maybe down the line. I don't know when the kids are older, but it's tough to say. We haven't really thought too much about it. But like I said, coming back to the kids, I think that's one thing we're passionate about, and I think there are a lot of ways you can help out there.
Well, you're right about that, because making an impact on somebody's life is something not everybody has an opportunity to do. Obviously, if you're a teacher and things like that, you make that impact every day. But as somebody that was a former player but also understands your stature and how you can help, that can go a long way in how changing somebody's life and helping that out. And is that something you kind of look at and you're like, you know what? Like, when you have the power to do something like that, why not look to do that?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said so many times before, the Canucks do a lot of that too. And it comes automatic with playing for the Canucks. So mm-hmm. I think when you leave that organization, you kind of lose that a little bit. So... I mean, we're still involved with our foundation and all that, but I think obviously now we have time to do more, and I think that's one thing we're looking at to do in the future. Yeah.
Are you getting more requests now than before because you have more time? Do you get family and friends maybe requesting more of your time now that you have a little bit more time?
It's both ways. I think people respect that we kind of want to, mm-hmm. and I think we were pretty clear too. We want to take a year off and just enjoy being home, doing whatever we feel like doing. So I think they've, for most part, they have respected that. But certainly there's been a little bit, a few phone calls here and there.
Well, I know another thing that you both are passionate about is horses, horse racing.
Yeah.
In fact, you had to switch the dates because you got a big race tomorrow you got to watch. You originally said you wanted to come on Wednesday. But we were talking a little bit before you came on and off air about video review in the NHL. Video review at the Kentucky Derby. What did you make of the controversy this weekend there?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be a referee in that room. Like,
about the money at stake, right?
Like, that's what I thought about right away. And to make that decision, I think, I mean, I don't know a lot about those rules or whatever, mm-hmm. but to me it's clear cut. He should be disqualified.
I never even thought that I didn't even know that existed.
I know.
Just a horse out there running in muck.
Yeah.
There's no lanes. There's no.
Yeah. But then listening to the commentators, they were kind of, well, he's the best horse. He should win. Like, so I don't know enough about those rules, but I know from horse racing back in Sweden, they're pretty strict about those kind of things.
Well, our very own Joey Kenrad was at Hastings race course that day, and he was dressed up like he was at the Kentucky Derby. I'm curious, if you were to attend a horse race in Sweden, what would you wear?
Best hat ever.
You would?
No.
Because something tells me you're a guy who just wouldn't really give two craps about it.
No, I would love to go to Kentucky Derby one day.
But you're running marathons that week.
Exactly.
Every year for the rest of your life.
I can't do it. But no, like horse racing back in Sweden, that's best part of the summer, I think, to go to the races. We have a racetrack in our hometown, and it's one thing that our whole family enjoys.
And when it comes to some of those hobbies away from the game and obviously what you guys do now, is there something else that you've kind of dabbled in that you never got into before, whether it's swimming, or is there something that you've tried this year outside of running a marathon, of course?
Yeah, no, not really. I think skiing is obvious, mm-hmm. but that's one thing we always said we wanted to do, and that's we really...
How good was that this year, skiing?
It was very good, and perfect family sport too, right. I think, where everyone can... Our kids are getting to the point where they can keep up now, and we'll all have a good day on the mountains. So that's been great.
How adventurous did you guys get with the skiing?
Not very adventurous. No. We'll see you next year if it picks up a little bit. But I'm kind of slowest one in the family.
There's something I was thinking about, and I'll get to it. I teased it earlier. I was going to ask you.
Oh yeah.
Had thought of this question. It's about, because I've been kind of thinking about this a lot, bigger picture, about nicknames and how. Nicknames in hockey are, for the most part, pretty boring. But you and I both know that in the locker room, there's a lot of nicknames that never really make it to the public. Did you ever have a nickname other than, like, to me, I just, like, you're just Dan, Danny, or Daniel.
Yeah.
And that is your name.
Yeah.
It's boring. Do you have a nickname? Have you ever had a nickname?
No. Did you have one? Or?
Oh, I had lots. But okay. But the thing to me is, like, do you feel cheated? Because you were a twin, all you needed was to be differentiated from your twin.
Yeah.
You didn't even need to have anything special.
You're right about that. I never thought about that.
You got screwed, man.
It's been, yeah, but I like.
But then, okay, so then the next part is, if there was just one of you, what would it be? Like, and then we were, Sedini?
Sedini.
There's.
Well, even in Sweden, I remember when growing up there, nicknames weren't always, like, is nickname more of a North American thing?
I think so.
Right?
In Sweden, it's more your first name.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got like Fopa and like the Mule. You got some great.
And the Mule is of, I mean, that's the only one that, Fopa is from Forsberg, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also your name.
Yeah, all right. So I didn't know that.
The Mule is probably the best one.
I don't know. I was thinking about this, and I was hoping you had something, but you didn't.
No,
so.
Nothing. Typical Swede.
Well, you know, I know next season is going to be an interesting one for the Canucks because they're a young team coming up, but it's also going to be the year where you and Henrik do get the ultimate decoration of having your jerseys retired. Have you been looking ahead to that at all, or is that just trying to not think about it until it kind of comes up?
Yeah, I think when it gets closer, I think we'll start to think about that. That's... obviously, when you look up and see mm-hmm. those names up there, it's quite the company. So we'll look forward to that for sure.
Did you get a chance to get down to many games, or is it hard after retiring to go to the rink and watch hockey games that soon afterwards?
It's not hard. I mean, you drive down there, watch a game. But no, I haven't.
He doesn't. He doesn't have parking anymore.
No, oh, right. It took away the parking.
I've seen quite a few games on TV, but mm-hmm. I haven't been down. And that's the kids always ask me, like, why do you have to stop going to games? Because you stop playing. Well, I'd rather be home.
Because I want to be with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop being so ungrateful.
Yeah. They wouldn't go be in the wise room and play with other kids. So it's I watch quite a bit on TV, but I haven't been down.
Is it fun watching Pettersson, see what he does as a rookie so far this season? I mean, the kid is incredibly talented, but to kind of put in perspective how difficult it is to come in at his age and make the impact he
Yeah, made. And I think I said that too last mm-hmm. year when I was here, that he had such a great season in Sweden, so... I knew it was possible that he could be good over here, but I think he surprised everyone, including me. But I also like the way they play, the whole team. It looked like everyone bought into Travis and the coaching staff, and I think that's the best sign that they're all on the same page. I think that's the biggest part of being a successful team.
We were planning on talking about this a bit later on, but your first year with the Canucks was the year they had missed the playoffs 4 years in a row, and you guys get added to the team, and you make the postseason, and finally made that jump from being an 83-point team to about a 90-point team.
That was all
you guys, all you guys came in and did. But it was also different circumstances because players' ages are different, but there's a sense if the Canucks can add a couple of players of high talent, you know, like yourselves to a year like that, and you join a team that is buying into Mark Crawford like that team was back then, it can change. It can turn around.
Yeah, for sure. I think they're not far off, to be honest with you. I think you're right. You add a few players there. It's a good team. And you look at the playoffs now. Like, Carolina's in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. Columbus goes a long way. Tampa loses in the first round. Like it's amazing what happens, what can happen if you get into the playoffs.
Right.
It's such a tight league, and so once they get in, I think anything can happen.
What stands out to you about this playoff, other than the fact that anything can happen? Like, is there one thing that you're like, yeah, like this is the way the game is going. This is what's important.
I think it's a great game, to be honest with you. Like I get excited watching playoff hockey. It's because in the past when you didn't make the playoffs, you didn't really want to watch playoff hockey. Now I watched a few games and the speed and the excitement, it's amazing. It has to be the best playoff sport out there.
I agree. And what stands out to me, and it's like all these teams that are still going have such good versatile defensemen. Like the D-Core are really important. Obviously San Jose, I mean, we've talked all year about those guys. But I look at the addition of Cale Makar in Colorado. You look at the young guys in Dallas and the way they're contributing. Even St. Louis, like they're a little bit older, but they've long been a very productive D-Core. How important is that to get to have the D that can get the forwards the puck, get clean breakouts, get going on the attack?
Yeah, no, I think you have to build your team around your D-man. I think that's always been the case. Even looking back to when we had those good years, our D-core was the best in the league, I think. So it's key, and I think Canucks are getting there for sure. The Stetcher, Hardy, all those young guys coming in too. I think they're going to get there, and that's going to change the team too. I think you can get that good first pass and get some offense from the D's too. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to change.
Well, the two eras, that the West Coast Express era, and then your era where you were the top players on the team. It was strong defense. You had Jovanovski.
They don't even have an era named after them.
Well, he
doesn't have a nickname. Your era, the West Coast Express, and then there's these guys.
Yeah, better success with your era than the West Coast Express.
But I'm just once again, somebody please come up with a moniker for this.
Yeah, but even look back to when we came in, Oland, Jovanovski, even Murray Barron, and like those, they were good.
Murray Barron, heart and soul player, man. No, what a warrior,
good NHL player, and like I said, you. If you can trust those guys day in and day out, it gives you confidence as a team. And that's the same with the goalie too. Look at Marke this year; it's been incredible. Damko's coming up too. It's just going to give you confidence as a team, and it starts from your back end and the goalie too, I guess.
He is Daniel Sedin. Thanks so much for giving us some time here in studio today. I know Aldi set it all up, but we appreciate your time, and I know a lot of fans are happy hearing from you. Congratulations on the marathon, and next time you will get the time you want to get.
I'll be back.
this went by faster than the marathon, right?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Mentally as tough though.
Sounds
it's a grind.
Right.
I know.
I know. Hey, thanks so much for your time, Daniel.
Sportsnet 650.